Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day, and thank you for kicking it off with us right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. 7:04 on the clock. Got your host, James J. behind the mic. I am joined by Terry Johns.
Good morning.
We got the band back together.
We do.
How you doing, Terry?
I'm doing good.
Good. Good.
March 1st. How's that? A little crazy.
It's the kickoff of March. It is surprising.
But are you thinking we're in like a lamb or in like a lion?
We're going to be a little bit of a lion today.
You think?
We've got a bit of a
30s.
Yeah, that's not. I guess to me, I'm repeating what I heard on the weather. I honestly am, because to me, it doesn't seem like a lion necessarily. It seems kind of like a lion asleep.
I think that people are saying lion regardless because they want the lamb on the back end.
Yeah, yeah, it's a good point. We got some good stuff lined up for you. We are going to kick off things with our National Day of Calendar in just a little bit. After that, Terry and I are going to get into Dictionary.com's new words. They've got some new words in there we're going to touch on. Also going to talk about a new hiring trend I want to get into. A little bit later, 15 little things that annoy everyone. That should be good. Well, that's coming up for us a little bit later as well. In the 8 o'clock hour, Misty's Menu, Birthday and Anniversary Club. And a little after Melissa's news, we will have our Wicked Awesome Word of Wednesday from our friends at Quality Plus Printing. Looking forward to that. 9 o'clock hour, we'll kick it off with some entertainment. Actually got some really good stories in there, including a little bit of a song I want to play for you guys from Willie Nelson and Buck Owen.
Cool.
Yeah, that's a good duet right there. You want to hear for that one. Also, some Denny Wright stories, good stories of the day to wrap up the show. You know how this story goes. We're going to have some fun today. We're going to try to cram 15 hours of show into three. It's what I do. We have the CEO of United Way of Southwind and Adams Counties with us, so why not get an update with our friends over at the United Way? How are things going?
Things are going good. We are right now really busy with Power the Purse preparations, so we are about 2 weeks out from that event. So I do encourage women in the community who are interested in helping us with childhood literacy efforts to get a ticket for Power of the Purse. That is on Tuesday, March 14th from 5 until 7:30 at Bullseye Golf Club. Tickets are $25. So encourage people to jump on board with that. We do still, you know, typically I'd say we have between 100 and 120 in attendance. So,
nice.
You know, looking forward to that. Nice crowd of ladies that come out and participate, but it is open to anybody who has the interest. So it is a handbag sign auction. We also have a bunch of raffles and just, you know, an opportunity to socialize and spend time with friends. And again, all proceeds from that event go for early grade learning and literacy right here in our community, primarily the Dolly Parton Imagination Library program, which is a book gifting program for kids from birth to age 5. And then also, we also do grants. I think this is something that we kind of gloss over sometimes, but we also do grants for classrooms. So when we have a classroom teacher, let's say there's a second grade teacher who says, you know, I could really use these literacy tools in my classroom, they can write a grant to Women United and ask for funding to help support that. And so over the course of, you know, from when we started Women United, we have made almost $200,000 in classroom grants, just small grants to classroom teachers for items that they might need to support their literacy efforts. So, you know, that's really the important thing about Power of the Purse. The other thing that we have going, we have a calendar raffle right now where for the month of April, you could win cash prizes each business day of the month. So those tickets are available. You need to come to our office or give us a call and we can make arrangements to connect. But those are $10 each or 3 for $20, and we're giving away $2,000. None of your ticket price, you know, when you invest in a ticket, none of that is going towards prizes. All of the prizes were sponsored by local businesses. So that's really cool. Anything that we raise from the calendar raffle goes directly to programming. So that's also happening. And then, you know, we just wrapped up some stuff. We're here we are at a new month.
Yes.
And so we wrapped up the Cabin Fever Challenge yesterday. We will be doing those drawings at the end of this week or early next week for the prize baskets. So we just, you know, wrap that up. Our funding application deadline was yesterday. So we'll be starting to look at those and entertaining, you know, programs in the community that might need or benefit from United Way funding. So a lot going on right now.
When it comes to the Dolly Parton Imagination Library, I want to let people know that they are still taking applications from what I found. I just looked at it last night, just for the heck of it, for the conversation right now.
For kids to be able to. Absolutely.
Yes.
So you can sign your child up. The only, you know, really rule, so to speak, is that the child has to reside in Southwood County. So the child needs to live in the zip codes of Rudolph, Vesper, Wisconsin Rapids, Port Edwards, or Nakusa. So as long as the child resides there and is between birth and age 5, they can sign up.
That's the catch, Terry. I thought, you know, I'm 46. You know, I mean, I could use some new books. No, no.
They're nice.
They are really nice, and I was very jealous of these kids.
Yeah,
so
well,
I wanted to get in on it. I could not get in on it.
I mean, you could have another kid.
Yeah, I guess. yeah, likelihood of that, zero. We really appreciate the community coming together on these things. When you're putting into something like Power the Purse, you are getting, you know, a great handbag, great purse and everything for somebody or for yourself. But what you're really doing is investing in your community. You're putting into your future of your community. For those that have not seen the stats, America is behind on reading. And every penny counts towards the future of our country, towards the future of our children being able to take over when we how's it going to be if all of us, we got to stay doing these jobs that we're all doing right now into our 80s because the kids, this next generation ain't ready to take over. Now, China ran into this problem. We don't think we're in that type of dire straits, but do you want to let it get to that? Do you want to play some offense or defense on this?
Right.
Let's play offense. Let's make sure that our kids are have at the very least the ability to not only read but read well. There's a big difference. Trust me, you hear it every day on the air with me. The difference between being able to, you know, being raised literacy wise, and I had one of the biggest book fans in the world. Still didn't, you know, had troubles with that. For kids to have every little bit of advantage as they can is just fantastic to be a part of.
Absolutely.
And the if you don't mind going back a bit to the grant programs that are offered to classrooms.
Yep.
That's a wonderful thing to be able to do. How long has that been around? I'm sorry I didn't know much about that.
No, so we've been doing that right alongside all of the other literacy efforts for you know, for women united. So honestly, 10 years we've been doing those grants. So we look at those quarterly, you know, between
Mr. Journalist over here.
Well, I mean, you're not a elementary classroom teacher, so in your defense.
Fair point.
So, you know, so that's where the bulk of those grants go, but it usually is wraparound, you know, kind of services. So, for instance, when a school district purchases, let's say they purchase new language arts curriculum. Yeah. So they have all new reading materials. Well, they also work with a budget, right? So they might get the base package, right? So everything a teacher needs for reading in their classroom. But there's also pieces for the kids who are on the low end of reading. Yeah. You know, there's kind of wraparound. Yeah. And then there's stuff for what about the kids who do read well?
Yes.
How do we keep them stimulated and do things with them? So in many instances, what we find is that there might be one or two sets for the whole school of those, you know, those below level sets and the above level sets. And so that's what a lot of classroom teachers have asked us for funding for is, you know, the additional supports to, you know, could I get a low level reading set just for my classroom?
Yeah.
Or if it's an elementary school where, let's say, there's 3 second grades, maybe all 3 of those second grade teachers come together and say, you know, we could use this as a teaching team. Yeah. So that's really the idea, is just adding any supports. And, you know, when you were talking about reading proficiency before, that was one of the things that really made Women United, when we formed, choose early grade learning and literacy as our passion and as our cause, is because at that point in time, the statistic was, and this is, again, in 2012, so this is a while ago, but the statistic was for the schools in our service area, that 1 in 6 children were not reading proficiently at that time. And we were like, 1 in 6, this can be fixed, right?
Yeah.
You know, like, it's not an 80% issue, you know? It was pretty, you know, we were, like, pretty honestly encouraged by that.
Yes.
Like, if we can get reading mentors in the school, and we can get more tools for teachers, and we can get, you know, the Imagination Library program going, and really thinking about literacy at a younger age, you know, so that was really kind of, honestly, a motivator for the Women United group, to just say, hey, you know what, we can help and move the mark. And we are absolutely in no way critical of classroom teachers, because we think they're doing a great job. And we also understand, though, that reading doesn't just take place at school.
Yeah.
You know, and those extra efforts need to be there for every child.
To that point about teachers, yesterday before class, I got in early, and like I always do because I'm crazy. And I'm doing my thing, and I get an email, and I check it really quick to jump back into class. And I read through it so fast, it didn't quite hit me what it was. It was an email from one of my students' parents. Thanking me for taking a little extra time with one of them after class. And this is a 18-year-old kid. And she's got incredible talent. You're going to hear her name eventually, I think. So she's very talented. So she didn't really need the extra teaching, I think. But it's the first time that's ever happened to me. Because usually I'm dealing with kids in their 19s, 20s, stuff like that.
Sure, their parents aren't reaching out. Yeah.
That was a long time ago. Yeah. They were doing things like that. And it was... It took me until this morning for it to kind of sit into what it was. And it was very cool.
Isn't
it was
it nice? Home.
Yeah, it was really nice. I can't imagine what it's like to be a grade school teacher, be a high school teacher, and hopefully get a lot of that. But I started to think more and more about that and the difference of that world and the world I'm in teaching. And just to have some support in this day and age. And I don't care if you've got 10 students and every one of those teachers, parents, loves you as a teacher. You can never have enough support. So to not only know that you've got people have your back in the community, especially when it comes to literacy, but a grant program like that where we all know that so many teachers are taken out of their own pocket to do things. I mean, just even if I don't need those services, to know that they're there, that people have my back as a teacher, I don't think we could have enough of that in this day and age. That is really cool.
It is awesome. So the way we fund all this is through, honestly, the majority of it through membership in Women United and Power of the Purse. Mm-hmm. And even if you're not a purse person, because I do hear that a lot. Oh, I'm not really into, name brand purses or whatever. There's plenty of people who come. I mean, we have 26 purses. There's 120 people there. So not everyone's leaving with a purse. You can come purchase some raffles, or you can make a donation to Imagination Library, or just come hang out with us. It's not... Buying a purse is not required. Power of the Purse, we're honestly really thinking of your own purse, right? Right. Like, what can you do with what you have in it to make an impact?
Yes. Very well said. You can find out more by going to uwswac.org. Be sure to follow the United Way on social media as well. It's a great follow, great way to keep up on things in your community. Speaking of your community, I have a couple notes here real quick. This comes to us from the Parks and Forestry Department of Wood County. Big shout out to Dan Vollert out there. The Kellner Knights, Rudolph River Rovers, and the Sunset Drifters have closed their snowmobile trails as of yesterday at noon to deteriorating snow conditions. Vesper Snow Drifters section of trail starting at Intersection 8, State Highway 73 South to State Highway 54, ATV intense use area remains closed. All other snowmobile trails in Wood County currently remain open. County trail maps can be accessed on the Wood County Parks and Forestry Department website. You can find that by going to co.wood.wi.us. You can also always give them a call at 715-421-8422, 421-8422. Going into a little bit of sports for you, yesterday, you heard on our sister station, WIRI, the Assumption boys keep rolling. They beat Wild Rose 60-47. Royals will face Newman Catholic in Wausau on Friday.
Nice.
We're hoping to have that game for you. We'll let you know how that goes. Can tell you that tonight at 7 o'clock, we got Wisconsin men's basketball versus Purdue. Dang, is that going to be a big game. Purdue has been flirting with the number one spot. They got one of the best players in the country. This is how you figure out what you're made of. And if you can get a win like this, because Purdue is beatable. If you can get a win like this, this could be your shot into the tournament, into the big dance.
And it's so fun.
God, I love this time of year. Love it. Every game counts, too, for Wisconsin going forward here. So these are all big ones. 7 o'clock tonight, tip off right here at WFHR. On our sister station, WIRI, going to be a celebration. It's 6 o'clock. It's the Marquette Coaches Show, Shaka Smart Show. For those that did not hear, Marquette won the Big East outright yesterday. Big congratulations to Marquette. Fantastic victory for Shaka and the boys. Nicely done.
Yeah. Think about the energy that show is going to have.
Ooh, yeah. That guy's already got energy just sitting in a chair. I can't imagine. He's one of my favorite coaches. Probably my favorite coach in sports, too. I just like the way that he's a good talker. It's a great show. If you haven't caught it before, catch it tonight at 6 o'clock and WIRI. And hopefully we're going to have at 6:55 Assumption Girls Basketball versus Edgar at Athens. Randy and Don looking to call that one. College basketball, or high school basketball season, to me, is one of my favorite times of year. I love it. But in the years that I've been doing this job and everything, I have, and really going back to when my brother went to the Assumption, I've just found myself rooting for the Royals. This Assumption Royals girls team has spoiled me and spoiled us for so long.
True.
And we just hope they keep spoiling us. But whatever happens, win, lose, we are all in on the Royals. We are big fans. Rooting for them, hoping that for a victory tonight, maybe we can get that silver ball back here. Let's see how that goes. Roll Royals. We're going to go. Oh, I did want to mention this as well. After Terry and I are done hanging out with you this morning, we will have Morning Magazine the entire hour with the Wood County Sheriff's Department. We will have Wisconsin Rapids Media in to record as well. We're not sure who's going to be in from the Sheriff's Department. We're not sure. Sheriff Becker has been dodging me. No, I'm joking. Yeah. We didn't see him last week, so we'll see if Sean's going to be in this week or not. Either way, looking forward to whoever we have, and always an interesting, good conversation with our friends over at the Sheriff's Department. Looking forward to catching up with them today.
Yeah, that'll be great.
All that coming up for you here on The Morning Show at WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody, to the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Got Terry and James back with you. And time for us to dive into our National Day of Calendar for this March 1st. Happy March, everybody. It is Refried, Not Retired Day. Refired. I thought it was refined. I thought they were trying to basically refined. Oh no, refired, not retired day. Retirement is often considered to be the long tea time of the soul, a passage for an active life and a career into a quiet convalescence and pestering the children while spoiling the grandchildren. Refired, not retired day turns this entire idea on its head. Retirement should be a time to get refired about your life and using your newly found freedom to get back to living life to the fullest, not quietly getting out of the way. So are you refired?
You know, you hear that. I hear that from so many people now who are like busier in retirement than they were when they were working. And I love that. And they're like, I don't even know how I did all this stuff when I was actually working. That's awesome.
I'm looking at my my parents' generation, the newly retired types, and it's so this. They can't keep still. I've been trying to get my mom to relax a little bit because her hip's all bad, and she won't stop. The woman will not stop.
You got to live, James.
Yes, you do. You do. It's very true. Very true. And I'm not about to tell anybody, especially my Jewish mother, how to live her life. I just think that, you know, enjoy some of it. Have a balance there. Enjoy your time. If you are enjoying it, you know, that's what matters. That's
absolutely
what matters. It's Plan a Solo Vacation Day.
Huh.
Yeah, that's about as realistic for me as a Pixar movie. When people think of a vacation, they often think of traveling with friends and families to predetermined locations and experiencing all of the sights. While these kinds of vacations can be exciting and a great way to spend a week or two, the solo traveler is exploring something for greater than the tourist traps and sights they pass by. The solo traveler is exploring themselves in the solitude and openness of the road. Whether it is just going an hour away, or it's something even bigger than that. At least once in your life, you got to do this. I wouldn't say that I did a vacation, but traveling to California, traveling to Cleveland, a lot of these trips that I made by myself. And I love traveling with people. If I had a choice, I'd choose to travel with people the rest of my life. But chances are I'm going to be traveling by myself at some point, and I love it. It's so good for the soul. When you're sitting on a train or a plane and you're traveling an hour or two and you've got that time to yourself, you're forced to think. And sometimes that can be a little much, but for the most part, it tends to be better for the soul. It tends to be really good for you. And there's not a lot of situations in life that present that when you're in an environment where, hey, nobody even knows me here. I got a complete blank slate in this place. Mm-hmm. I could be just whatever I want to be and just be. That's it. It's such a release, such a gift to yourself, to your soul. Cannot encourage people enough to do it.
Yeah, I think a reset is really important once in a while. We tend to travel, you know, family or friends, and I always end up being the planner. So that can be exhausting, you know? So yeah. I don't know that I'd take a solo vacation, but a day. For me, that's at the spot, like at getting a massage or something like
good
that.
On you.
You know, it's just a good recharge.
Everybody needs that. It's National Wedding Planning Day.
Oh.
I get another far-fetched one, another for myself. Did you and Randy plan it together? Did you do most of the planning?
I think probably I did most of the planning. Hmm. I mean, I was open to input as long as he agreed with what I'm just kidding. I mean, that's probably not, I'm probably not kidding. But you know, I mean, I think that there were a few things that he was like, oh, you know, I'd really like to do this or make sure this is included or whatever. But yeah, for the most part, but we did not have like a wedding planner. I mean, it was me. My friends all gave me a hard time because I had like a 3-ring binder, you know, and I had everything in there and I had everything all organized and they just thought that was hilarious that I had a wedding binder. But, there's a lot to keep track of.
Yeah, it seems like a good thing. If you can afford it, if you can swing it, it does seem like a nice thing to have somebody. You can just focus on, you know, other things, and they can take care of, you know, some of the nuts and bolts of it.
Honestly, that's something I think would be so fun.
To have a wedding planner?
Yeah. I mean, not for like the divas on TV. Not like you see like on these shows. But I'm just saying, just being a resource, you know, locally for people with their planning, I think that'd be really awesome.
Speaking of not stopping once you retire, maybe that'll be your hobby in retirement, baby. National Fruit Compote Day or Compote?
Compote.
Yep. I don't know what this is. And I know fruits pretty well. If you've got a sweet tooth, you're probably a fan of the fruit compote. Compote, a delicious mixture of fruits or berries and sugar. The compote brings a punch of flavor to Greek yogurt.
So you typically cook it, you know, like you boil it.
Ooh.
So like if you were to make cranberry sauce homemade, you know, so you're boiling like cranberries and water and sugar. And so I have like a recipe for a blueberry compote that you use fresh blueberries and then I actually use it as a filling for lemon cupcakes.
Nice.
And so, yeah, so that's really good. But yeah, it's basically fruit and sugar, but it's really good. Well, kind of like jam, right? Yeah. But it's just a little bit different take on it.
You had me at fruit and sugar, Terry. Yeah, you won me over. Like this sounds great. Why haven't I had more?
Yeah, right. So, you know, really also fruit sauce, you could, I mean, maybe put it over ice cream or there's a lot of different ways that you could use a compote.
That over ice cream sounds really good. It's National Pig Day.
Oh, I like pigs.
Pigs are great. And not just because of bacon. Pigs are great. Pigs are awesome.
That's right. All the vegans out there will take your bacon.
Yes. They're very sweet, caring animals. They tend to be. What you learn about pigs is always fascinating, too. I feel like every time I hear a fact about a pig, it surprises me.
And aren't little piglets just cute?
Yeah, they are. Was it Green Acres that had the little pig? It was Green Acres.
Yes, Green Acres.
That had the pig with there and everything. Yeah, I just remember that was the first time I think I remember seeing a baby pig
like
before.
Like a little piglet? Yeah.
That was one of the things I liked about the show, the pig. I don't remember anything else other than one of the Gabor sisters being on there. I don't remember anything else about that show. And my Nana loved it. I remember that. National Horse Protection Day. This is a darn good one, everybody. The majestic horse has long been considered a close companion of humans and a vital contributor to our species progress. National Horse Protection Day is all about returning the love of our four-legged friends by raising awareness of the various plights that horses face and by protecting them from abuse, exploitation, and neglect. This is part of our responsibility of being human beings, of being in the food chain. It doesn't just come with you get to breathe and that's it. You get to eat from the land and that's it. You have to put back into the land. That means protecting the animals that literally helped us get as far as we have in society.
There's no
way we are where we are without horses.
And physically, literally, right? Like that was the Western migration, right? I mean, that was around horses.
They have been a vital key part of human civilization for over 5,000 years. And they're amazing. They're wonderful creatures. They're wonderful creatures. If you have had the fortune of being able to ride a horse many times, especially even just once, you know what I'm talking about. There's nothing in the world like it. My favorite way to travel is train. I just sucker for it. I love the pace. I like the feel of it. All of that. If you told me that I had to ride horseback the rest of my life, I'm good. I'm cool with it. Like City Boy over here can do it. I can actually ride a horse, and I love doing it. There is nothing like that feeling of that connection with that animal and them allowing this with you. And especially when you build a bond with one, I love dogs, but there's nothing like a bond with a horse. It's a whole different animal.
And if
literally.
You are horse crazy, there's something. You know what I mean? Like I have a daughter who just loves horses, and it's just kind of funny how when it's in your blood, it's just there.
Yes.
You know, you just, that's just your thing.
They're really beautiful creatures. And I know, and I believe they still do. There's some spots around here that, you know, can teach you horse riding, or you can do horse. There's a great place not too far from here where you can take a trail. An ex of mine did.
Yep.
And it was raining that day, so we had the trail to ourselves. My God, was that fun. We spent like 2 or 3 hours on that horse, just taking, just riding, you know, a little bit of running, but mostly just walking. Yeah, it was one of the best trips I've had. It was awesome. Terry, you are looking great today.
Oh, thanks, James.
Got
nice
that.
Shirt.
Thank you.
I like your shirt.
And we're covered. Now we are covered. We got World Compliment Day done. When was the last time someone gave you a genuine compliment? Notice they put genuine in there.
Busted.
Not just one of those things that people say to fill the awkward silence. Compliments are fantastic. They also need to be genuine. I think now you can get away with some things in passing or you know, people that you don't run into maybe much. You just don't, you don't even maybe know on a name basis, people that you wave to, whatever. But a compliment doesn't mean anything unless it's genuine. But if it's genuine, it support and, you know, encouragement can cost nothing, can mean everything.
Yeah. And, you know,
go a long way.
It's really cool because I always think about, there's always, you have someone in your life who's really good at that. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like yes. Every time you see them, they're complimenting someone and it's just like, oh, that's so nice.
Yeah, and we all, I think, hopefully you can think of somebody like that in your life.
And try to be that,
yes,
right?
Yeah. Yes. National Barista Day. That's a good one. Thank you, baristas out there. We appreciate the coffee. That job has gotten a lot more, like, not just stature to it, not all businesses, but for some businesses has gotten to be a good paying job too.
Yeah. Well, you need to have some skill.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah,
you're not just pulling coffee out of the spigot, right? Like
no.
there's some work to that. So
I will say too, as somebody just loves creativity and, when we find, abilities to be creative where there isn't one before, the designing of the coffee.
Oh, yeah.
It is pretty cool that they do, I like how they do that.
Unless I'm in line behind.
Yes, that if I'm waiting, then no, it's not cool. Just give me
then
my
coffee.
Then
you don't need a heart on the person in front of me. Like, just move on.
Peanut butter lovers rejoice. Today is our day, National Peanut Butter Lovers Day.
Oh, are you a lover?
I love peanut butter.
I like peanut butter. I don't know that I love it. Crunchy or creamy?
I loved peanut butter too much. Like Icarus, I flew too close to the sun, and 90% of my weight by the time I was 16 was peanut butter. Burnt myself out to now where it's once in a blue moon that I get a real taste for peanut butter. I'll eat it if it's in front of me and I got nothing else, of course, but I don't eat it like I used to.
What about just like a spoonful of peanut butter with chocolate chips?
Yeah, that's pretty good. That's not bad. Peanuts have origins that go far back into human history. Some researchers believe that peanuts, which aren't actually nuts at all, but are really legumes. Legumes. They have been domesticated by humans for thousands of years, but it wasn't turned into the modern food we call peanut butter until more recently. After some rudimentary experimenting with peanut paste and a patent granted in 1884 to Canadian inventor Marcellus Gilmore Edison, different Edison, not related, spells it differently. An unnamed doctor seems to have used peanut butter in a way to feed some of the patients a nutritious, easily edible food in the early 1890s.
That's smart.
That's pretty cool. That's a pretty cool one. And a great one. Gosh, just a great one to celebrate.
So do you like smooth peanut butter or creamy peanut butter, I should say, or crunchy?
I prefer smooth, but I have not turned down crunchy before. And every once in a while, I get a taste for crunchy.
I have peanut butter lovers in my house, but I, you know, like I said, well, very occasionally I'm good with it, or I'll bake with peanut butter quite a bit.
Yeah.
But otherwise,
not your thing.
Spoonful with chocolate chips.
There you go. We're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll get to Melissa's news. We'll come back and we're going to dive into the new words that are being brought up from dictionary.com. That's coming up for you right here on The Morning Show at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning Show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. We hope you're having a good one out there in this big country of ours. It's closest I can get to a segue. Yeah, big country, right?
I don't know.
I think this is big country. I think so. I remember.
Oh, it
because
is.
Because it's one of those times where the band name and the name of their first single is the same.
And I don't know many times that's happened. Like, this is in a big country from the band Big Country. Like, it just felt a little like, did you guys use up all your creativity? Did you, like, every little bit on the title, that was it? Like, I don't know what else to call it. Just name the, I don't know. It's one thing to name your debut album after your band. It's right. It feels like a very different thing to name your first single. Like,
maybe the same they thing. Were like, thinking One Hit Wonder.
When we were first designing this show, Marcus and I were talking about it, and Marcus was dead pat on this being called Mornings with James. And I didn't like that. It just felt too, I don't know. I don't, like, if I was one of those actors that was looking to do a variety show or having a show of my own or anything like that, no way in human history would ever be called the James Show. I've never liked that. I just never, like, I like the night show, the late show. I like that. That's always meant more to, especially if you have a guest host or something like that. The Tonight Show was with Johnny Carson. It wasn't a Johnny Carson right. show featuring Ed McMahon or something like that. That's what I grew up on, so I just feel like it just sounds better, you know? The idea of naming it your big country in the big country. But what do I know?
They probably thought it was their only shot.
Yeah, it might have been. Got them that far, at least. Got more hit singles than I got. Dictionary.com just added 313 new words and terms, including a bunch of slang terms you might not be familiar with. That includes two new terms for cake, which is hilarious. To listeners that have been listening to us been doing this for a while, especially since Melissa's joined us, I don't remember how exactly it happened, but her and I were doing a show. It was one of the first shows early shows we were doing together, and we're trying to come up with like a new hip word for cool. And she just threw cake out there. That's so cake. And like, now that's a thing between her and I, where we say something is so cake or whatever. So that's one version you could use. Here's another one: cakeage. Cakeage, a fee charged by a restaurant for bringing your own cake. So like cordage, fee for wine, but with cake instead.
Oh, because you bring your own cake?
Who does that? Does it happen that often?
I mean, I'm thinking only if you were throwing a party, right?
Yeah, I guess. I can't think of any situation.
Or maybe, maybe if you're celebrating a birthday or an anniversary and they don't offer dessert or something. Yeah. I don't know. That's weird.
That's good. Cakeism. Cakeism. It comes from the term have your cake and eat it too. It's the false belief that one can enjoy the benefits of two choices that are in fact mutually exclusive or have it both ways. Cakeism. Jeez. Are we just getting bored with words now?
When did we let dictionary.com take over the world?
Yeah.
You know, where did Webster go?
Where are you, Funkin' Wagnalls? We need you.
This is interesting. And what determines what's a word?
That's a great question. Is a great question.
Yeah.
That is a good question. So let's keep on going here with digital nomad, a person who works remotely while traveling for leisure, especially when having no fixed permanent address, or a gypsy, as they've always been called in my family. Now, that can be divisive to some out there, but I was raised, my mother's Aunt Florence raised me, that I never call myself Jewish. I was Russian gypsy Jew. That's what I was. It was very specific to our tribe, to the Chiss family. So, you know, a gypsy is a part of our creed. It's part of our culture. So I don't throw that term around lightly or anything like that. But I think that's basically what they're saying here is a digital nomad. You could just say nomad.
Well,
you
have to work remotely to be a digital nomad. So there's that.
Yeah.
This is kind of strange.
So far, I'm not enjoying this too much so far. Yeah. Newlywed or nearly wed. I'm sorry. Nearly wed.
Nearly wed.
A person who lives with someone in a life partnership, sometimes engaged with no planned wedding date. That has become a lot more popular. I blame Kurt Russell and Goldie Hawn. No, I'm joking.
So
I love Kurt Russell and Goldie Hawn.
What do you think precipitated needing a word for it?
Yeah.
Just so that it's not awkward?
That's actually not a bad.
You know what I mean? Like thought. When grandma says something about when you're getting married. Oh, we're nearly wed.
Oh, it was always with my uncle. It was always his friends over, or something like that, or whatever. Yeah, it was like it was the different ways that we word things. Yeah.
So this takes the awkwardness out of it.
Yes.
This is put the clamp on your follow up comment.
Yeah.
We're nearly wed.
You actually, I don't think you're wrong there. Yeah.
it's too cute to shut up.
Yes. Hellscape, a place of time that is hopeless, unbearable, or irredeemable, or just hell. I mean, I thought we already had that word. I thought we what's going on here? We're not running out of words. We don't need to make new words. They do realize that doesn't make new jobs or anything, right?
Yeah, that's weird.
Or maybe it does. I got to look and see what it takes to make a word. Northpaw, come on. An athlete who is right-handed like a pitcher or boxer. Come on.
Really? Oh, they're all jelly because of the left-handies, the southpaws.
How sad is that? My goodness.
This is the world we live in.
Can't even give left people that, left-handed people that much. Okay, here's one that I gotta ask Matt Lippert about. Rage farming. Provoking people by posting inflammatory political stuff on social media, hoping to get angry responses and going viral, or trolling. That we already have that term. It's trolling.
So it really has nothing to do with farming.
No. And I don't like the any bad association being associated with farming.
Right? And is it FARM? Is that how they're spelling it? It's not PH?
Yeah, FARM, Cyber flashing, sending pictures of stuff you shouldn't be sending to strangers. Yeah.
Cyber flashing.
That's just pathetic.
Sad thing is, do you think the younger generation knows what that is? Do you think they know what flashers are?
I don't even know if they do. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I was thinking about it
What's your visual? Black trench coat?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, pretty much. Black or the tan. It was the tan trench
the
tan, coat.
Oh, the tan wool coat or whatever. Yes, yeah. Yes.
I remember first hearing about that. And it was around this time of year or something like that in Chicago, and thinking, my God, you really have to hate your body to do that to yourself. You got to have a problem. There's got to be something wrong upstairs. Cli-fi, short for climate fiction. Those that don't believe in climate change.
Do you think it's cli-fi?
Cli-fi could be it. Yeah, I don't care. I really don't. And
I don't either. That's weird.
I don't think we should be really giving climate a term fiction? To something like that. How about people that don't believe in science?
How about words like shizzle? Maybe we should get shizzle in the dictionary.
Unless your name is Snoop Dogg. You can't say that, all right? I think that outside of Snoop, I'm not even sure I feel about him doing it.
I'd rather see Shizzle in there than Cli-Fi.
Yes, I agree. Yes. Oh my God, this next one hurts my brain. I literally felt my brain hurt and retract and maybe go down a couple notches, and I can't afford that. Petfluencer. A person who gains a large following on social media by posting entertaining images or videos of their pet. Oh, what have we done?
And do they get their, is their popularity based on how many pets like them?
Yeah.
Or how many humans?
I like that. I don't even know if I want to know.
I don't know. I think when we were, and again, this is just my take, but when we were kids, slang was so distanced from the dictionary that it's just weird to hear them intentionally putting slang into the dictionary.
Are they doing this to hopefully make dictionaries more popular?
I think they're just trying to get more usage on their website.
Yeah, you got to think,
they're
right?
They're just trying to get more views.
It's got to be something. I thought you asked in a fantastic question earlier, Terry, what decides a word that gets into the dictionary? Our lexicographers add a word to the dictionary when they determine that it's a word that's used by a lot of people. It's used by those people in largely the same way. It's likely to stick around, and it's useful for a general audience. That from dictionary.com themselves. How about Merriam-Webster? How do they do this? Because, it's going to be different, I imagine, from different people. Decide which words are included in the dictionary to determine what they mean. Merriam-Webster editors study the language as it's used. They carefully monitor which words people use most often and how much they use them. They do this with publishing material, including books, newspapers, magazines, and electronic publications, along with social media and short-form text, words as well.
So it is similar.
Yeah.
You know, the determination of how it gets there. So I guess, you know, it is based on society and the usage of words.
Now I'm just thinking that I am that unhip. Like, I am that out of the know.
Tomorrow?
Yeah.
Tomorrow when you tune in, you won't even understand him.
No. I'm just going to be using all these different words that I don't even know half the meaning.
Cli-fi.
So, yeah.
It's cake.
It's some cake. We'll take a break. We'll come back with some more fun on the morning show at WFHR. Welcome back to the morning show here at WFHR. Terry and James with you. And we're going to take you right to the top of the hour, where we'll be joined by CBS News. After that, we'll get a live and direct update from our friends at the Weather Eye Weather Center, see what Mother Nature's got in store for us coming up. After that, we're going to get into these 15 little things that annoy everyone. We'll see how many of these we have in common, how many we check off, you know, that we have in common with. Looking forward to getting into that. Then after that, we will get into Misty's Mini Birthday and Anniversary Club. And I did not mention this earlier. Quick reminder, it's March 1st. That means we get to draw the winner for February.
I get to pick the winner.
Yes, Terry's going to be able to do that. We'll have that for you also in the 8 o'clock hour. Right now, having a personal, unique signature used to be a big deal, but people don't seem to care much about it anymore. We don't need to sign things as often as we used to, and when we do, it's usually on a digital pad, and it doesn't come out looking right anyway, or you just put an X, like a lot of I've seen people do that sometimes too. There's apparently a new trend of people getting signature makeovers by hiring someone to help them improve it.
Oh, come on.
What is going on? Multiple people are promoting signature design services on social media, and the prices are all over the map, from $10 to $600. Please pay me $10, and I will help you.
Can you feel my eye roll?
Yes, I hope everybody could, because I'm not good at that, so I needed somebody else to do it for me. One woman in LA, in Los Angeles, has a business called Planet of Names, where she does around 300 custom signatures a month. The package includes stuff like up to three ways to sign, limitless drafts, or a new set of initials.
So, it's like, do you remember when you were learning how to write and it was like the little dashed letters that you had to write?
Yes.
So is that what this is? Like, you have to be able to do it yourself.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure. So, I mean, she's got a whole website, everything, like a
portfolio.
I mean,
a digital signature, designing a digital signature, I guess, is one thing. But if it's actually like you're going to use it to sign your name.
What happens when it doesn't match?
What happened to doodling?
Yeah, what happened to doing anything yourself, for the love of God? Like, practice at it and get better at it. Like, you know, that, instead of just quitting.
I wonder why people are broke.
Yeah. Goodness. What a gig. Oh, I want this job. This is a great gig.
I do not want this job. I could not handle dealing with people who can't sign their own name.
Her company has had some high-profile clients, people who autographs are still a big deal, but she wouldn't say who. She also works with regular people who are sick of signing their name, like a fifth grader. One thing to note, drastically changing your signature can be a headache, though, for things like voter rolls, passports, credit cards, health documents, legal papers. Not that you need any of that. What the what? Like, why would you go through all, you're going to pay $600, up to $600 possibly, and then you're going to have to go through all of that for what?
But so then you present your passport, you present a document that has your signature on it. You know, your old signature on it, right?
Yeah.
And then you present your new and improved signature, and then they don't even believe it's you.
That's a great idea nowadays, especially with passports. That's a real smart idea. I didn't plan on this being a That Ain't Right story.
Yeah, I think it is.
I think it is. If I will say that, you know, you and I grew up, you know, like most of the people out there listening, where, you know, signature or cursive was something we learned in grade school. And I know that for a while they took away cursive, and I believe that they've brought it back.
They do still learn it, but it's not the same as, like, you know, like, it's not as practiced as it was for us.
So I will give some grace to younger generations or generations that grew up without that. And okay, I could see how you could need some help maybe, or some fine tuning. But for the love of all that is, practice. Just practice at it.
You don't need a paid coach.
No. And who has ever looked at a signature and felt, well, that's a hireable person. I don't even need to look at their resume. Yeah, that's a signature. I need that on our staff. Johnson, get me this person. Like, it's always a Johnson, by the way. It's the person they're yelling to at the other room, it's always a Johnson. I don't know the purpose of this other than your own vanity.
Yeah, I was just going to say ego.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And again, you could do that yourself.
That's strange.
I think, you know, the old joke of a doctor's signature and not being able to read his prescription or her prescription or something like that. Like, even in that scenario, I can't picture needing this. No. I genuinely cannot think of a scenario where I could think of scenarios where you want to have a decent signature, but that's writing it yourself. A digital signature, who's paying attention to that?
Like, well,
outside of obviously, you know, when you have to do it for signing over a legal document or something like that or whatever.
And even if they're designing something for you to write, you still
got to write it.
It's just weird.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a waste of money, people.
I sometimes with these stories, I'm like, okay, what am I missing here? Where's the angle? What am I? There's got to be something.
My common sense has to kick in somewhere, right? Yeah, like, why? Like, yeah.
I can't think of it. Signature makeovers. I will be honest. I what was that? The Queer Eye for the Straight Guy, whatever that show was, or whatever those makeover shows they have.
Yeah.
Like, I can't dress myself for you know, to save the world or anything like that. I've always thought it'd be kind of fun to like do one of those shows, but then I think about the hassle of like trying to keep up with that. Like, I'm all right. I'll keep getting by.
Because you'd have a relapse.
Yes, absolutely. Like a week, the next day,
like a week later when the week's worth of clothes is done.
I got my hair cut yesterday for an audition coming up. The Kelly out of Fantastic Sam's, shout out Kelly, does an amazing job, really knows my hair better than I do. She does this thing with it that I like. She puts the volume to it, all this stuff. I've seen her do this for over 6 years, and I have no idea how she does. I could never mimic what she does.
You have to buy her products.
Yeah, you lost me. What was that?
I said you have to buy her products.
The first step. We are going to, doing something like this, I'm darn sure, or the clothing thing, like, I'm not against people making or doing a makeover on anything in life, because I think you deserve that. That seems
really?
Like a fun thing
on
to do
signature?
For yourself.
That's
but
lame. On
a
signature?
This is where I, yeah, this is where I, this is the line in the sand for me.
All right.
The signature is the line in the sand. Like, come on. Like, at a certain point, like, take some personal responsibility, practice at it, get better at it, and, you know.
Yeah. Like, exactly.
You might find it actually means more than spending $600 on it and paying somebody else to do it. We will take a commercial break. I'm going to see if this lady's hiring, though, because it's a sweet gig. It's a sweet gig. We'll take a break. We'll come back and have some more fun in the morning show at WFHR.